Translation. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. So this verse used to be chanted, in some temples anyway, every day after the recitation of the 10 offenses, you know, just to scare you. Well, not only to scare you, but it is a little scary sometimes because if we're realistic, we know that we have a tendency to be offensive. We know that we commit offenses. And it says here that it uses a very strong word. It says infested. If you're infested with the 10 offenses. So it's kind of a warning verse, you could say. It's a verse which is a sort of a very sober, cautionary statement. So before we read the purport, I just wanted to mention, kind of set the scene in a sense, just as in Bhagavad Gita we have setting of the scene. So in the previous chapter, we had been reading quite a lot about the importance of this Panchatattva mantra and also the significance of the Panchatattva being five aspects of the Absolute Truth. And there's a lot of emphasis on it, and especially there's a lot of emphasis on not emphasizing one of the members of the Panchatattva over another. Sometimes, in fact, it was very common at some time after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were different camps, actually. In Bengal, sometimes there was a lot of emphasis given to the wife of Nityananda Prabhu. And other places, Advaita was emphasized. Other places, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Other places, Nityananda. So there were arguments, kind of arguments going on, you could say, about who was the most important. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, following in the line of Jiva Goswami and other great personalities, said, no, they're to have equal emphasis, even though they represent different tattvas. For instance, most of, three members of the Panchatattva represent Vishnu Tattva, but Gadadhar represents Shakti Tattva, and Srivas represents Jiva Tattva. But all of them are engaged in devotional service to the Lord, so therefore they're treated equally. And that mantra is always to be chanted prior to the chanting of Hare Krishna as a way to create one's eligibility for chanting. So that's the merciful nature of this Panchatattva, that by vibrating this mantra, it actually develops your eligibility to chant Hare Krishna. It creates eligibility. So this is a wonderful thing, the mercy of the Panchatattva. But sometimes when devotees would read these statements about the wonder and the power of this chanting of Panchatattva mantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasati Ghor Bhaktivinoda, that this mantra is so potent and so merciful, why don't we just chant that and nothing else? And actually, some devotees actually took this up, chanting Panchatattva mantra on their beads instead of Hare Krishna. So I came across this conversation where this was discussed. And one of Prabhupada's disciples says, Prabhupada, you wrote in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Chaitanya Maha mantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, there is no offense to that. And so therefore in the Kali Yuga it is actually more beneficial. Prabhupada, offense is that what is spoken by the acharyas. If you do not follow, that is offense. Guru Avagya. So there are 10 offenses mentioned, described in the Padma Purana. Guru Avagya means disobeying the instruction of the spiritual master. So it says here, it's not a question of offense. The offense is not to follow what is taught by the acharyas and what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the acharyas have taught us to chant Hare Krishna. He says, to chant Gaur Nitya is no offense, but if our previous gurus have chanted Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandashi Advaita, why should we go beyond that? That is Guru Avagya. Even there is no aparad because Guru, Kaviraj Goswami, has sung like that, and my guru has sung, we should follow that. We should not make any deviation. That is Guru Avagya. Shruti Shastra Nindanam. Namo Namno Baladyasi Hipapa Buddhi. So it comes to be one of the items of the Dasha Vidha Aparad, the ten offenses, in other words, Guru Avagya. So it's interesting, in class recently, someone mentioned something about Panchatattva mantra being not exactly created, but something like that, created by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But actually, Kaviraj Goswami mentions all the members of the Panchatattva in many, many verses. He glorifies each and every personality in the Panchatattva. And Prabhupada actually explains that later on, that this mantra expresses this truth of the Panchatattva when we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. This is like a summary. That it always should be chanted prior to the Maha Mantra. Anyway, the conversation goes on, and this disciple says, should we consider that it's more beneficial for people to hear Bhaja Sri Krishna Chaitanya? Prabhupada, why? Why should you go here and there? There is already Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Why are you so anxious to go out of it? Charna, no, I'm saying, is it more beneficial for people to hear that mantra than the Hare Krishna mantra? Is it more beneficial for people to hear the Panchatattva mantra than the Hare Krishna Maha mantra? Prabhupada, oh yes, you are going to Hare Krishna through Gaur Nitya. Nitya Karuna Habe Braje Radha Krishna Pave. So this is from a song by Narottam Das Thakur, Nitya Pada Kamala. And it describes, it says, without the mercy of Sri Nityananda, nobody can get Radha and Krishna, the aim of human life. So we always go through, we have no approach to Radha Krishna, except through the mercy of Gaur Nitya, through the mercy of the Panchatattva. So that he's emphasizing here. He says that is already stated. He says the principle is, and this is, he's trying to make it very clear that he doesn't want any deviation. He says the principle is, don't try to manufacture because you are not experienced. So what nonsense you will manufacture, that will be offensive. Better go on, the simple thing. And then another disciple says, I know one devotee that chants Panchatattva mantra. Prabhupada, let him chant whatever. We shall chant like this. Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda. So this is from a discussion in Prabhupada's garden in Vrindavan. And then he goes on, he says, this is another from another section of the previous chapter that we just finished, chapter 7, we're now in chapter 8. Prabhupada writes this, he says, the Panchatattva is a very important factor in understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are sahajiyas who, not knowing the importance of the Panchatattva, concoct their own slogans, such as Bhaja Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radhe Govinda. Such chants may be good poetry. So he gives it not much credit. But they cannot help us to go forward in devotional service. In such chants, there are also many discrepancies which need not be discussed here. Strictly speaking, when chanting the names of the Panchatattva, one should fully offer his obeisances, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi, Ghor Bhaktarinda. By such chanting, one is blessed with the competency to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense. So this is a very important point, because we're often concerned, well, my chanting, I'm sure it must be full of offenses, and it may be. But that, therefore, this Panchatattva mantra should always be chanted prior to chanting Hare Krishna, because gradually, through the mercy of Gaur Nitya, one is actually gains the eligibility to chant without offense, It's stated directly here. It says, by such chanting, one is blessed with the competency. And then he says, when chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one should also chant it fully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should not foolishly adopt any of the slogans concocted by imaginative devotees. If one actually wants to derive the effects of chanting, one must strictly follow the great acharyas. This is confirmed in the Mahabharata. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The real path of progress is that which is traversed by great acharyas and authorities. And then in this chapter 8 that we're discussing now, Prabhupada writes this, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami teaches us first to offer respect to the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu, and Srivas Prabhu and other devotees. We must strictly follow the principle of offering our respects to the Panchatattva as summarized in the mantra Sri Krishna. Now, this is an interesting sentence. He says, we must strictly follow the principle of offering our respects to the Panchatattva as summarized in this mantra. So in other words, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is offering his respects to the Panchatattva throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in this chapter 7 and in chapter 8. But that is summarized, that respect is summarized in this mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. At the beginning of every function and preaching, especially before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we must chant the Panchatattva's names and offer our respects to them. So, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, spiritual master, used to say that that whatever you write, you know, in the devotional line, it's considered great writing according to the number of times you mention the holy name. So Prabhupada certainly fulfilled that request, or that, what do you call it, qualification. So, in text 11 of this chapter, I'm sort of leading up to the actual verse, Prabhupada, this is from Kaviraj Goswami, he says, if a person offers obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, even due to accepting him only as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distresses will diminish and he will ultimately get liberation. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this also, that it's the liberalism of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They say that even if Lord Chaitanya is simply accepted as an elevated sannyasi, not as the Supreme Lord, still, if he's offered that respect, then this verse gives this benediction that he will ultimately get liberation. There was a nice story. I may have told, some of you may have heard me tell this before, but because we try to apply logic to and reason, we don't want to accept things whimsically. In fact, there's the verse just before the one we're going to read today. It says, logicians say, unless one gains understanding through logic and argument, how can one decide upon a worshipable deity? So in other words, unless I can be convinced through logic, through reason, why should I accept it? So once in a big pandal, somebody from the audience said, what I have heard so far is simply sentiment. He said, I want reason and logic. So Prabhupada then gave him, and I wish I could remember the details, but I don't have much of a memory. But I know Prabhupada gave him a whole series of logical arguments of why we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A series of such perfect arguments that the man didn't know quite what to say afterwards, because he'd asked for logic and reason. So Prabhupada gave it to him. But then he was frustrated and he was embarrassed in front of a lot of people, so he said, well, I don't think you can prove everything by logic and reason. So Prabhupada said, yes, but since you have asked for logic and reason, I have given it to you. So then the man says, so what is your point? Prabhupada said, Krishna is God, take it. So he gave him logic and reason, and he still wasn't satisfied. But so the point is that here it says, apply your logic and reason to the mercy. It says in the verse, text 15, if you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this mercy of the Panchatattva, it's so amazing, because just by chanting this mantra, one can actually clear his path to the highest possible benediction for a human being, which is to develop love for God of the highest order. So how will you, if you apply that, if you examine that reasonably or logically, if you can achieve the highest possible benediction through this chanting, then how could there be anything better than that? So in other words, he's giving a way to approach this, the mercy, to actually analyze the mercy of Lord Chaitanya as being unsurpassable. So we'll read the purport now, since I'll read the verse again in the purport. Text 16. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although one goes on chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of his attaining the platform of devotional service. One must follow strictly the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Shikshashtaka. Trinada pisunichena, torora pisahishnina, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is obviously not an easy thing to do. It takes some fairly extensive purification to come to this platform. But anyway, that's the goal. So one who follows this direction, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance. But in the spiritual world, the Absolute is always Absolute. The name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Absolute are all as good as the Absolute himself. As such, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name, and in this spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. One who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of Godhead are identical. So this section of the purport relates directly to the verse, Nam Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnakshuddho Nityamukto Binatvam Namanamino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So this, it takes some time to realize this point, that the name, that name and that which is named are the same, one and the same. Actually, it says here that it's only possible to come to that understanding unless one becomes offenseless in chanting the holy name. So unless one learns to avoid the 10 offenses, it's very difficult to come to that understanding. So it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is clearly said, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jiva Dhal Shvayam Eva Spuratyada. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. This service and a submissive attitude begins with one's tongue. So we're actually serving the holy name, means we're serving God in the form of sound. So it begins with the tongue. Sevan Mukhe Hi Jiva Dho. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. Since the holy name and Krishna are non-different, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement not only chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, but also do not allow their tongues to eat anything which is not first offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord declares, Patrang Pushpang Phalang Toyang Yomi Bhaktya Prayachati Tadahang Bhakti Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has many temples all over the world, and in each and every temple the Lord has offered these foodstuffs. On the basis of his demands, the devotees chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly and never eat anything that is not first offered to the Lord. The functions of the tongue in devotional service are to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and eat prasad that is offered to the Lord. So, it's actually a very simple process. It's not difficult to do, actually. Sometimes there's a difficulty in steady determination to do something which is ultimately beneficial, because there's sacrifice involved. When you take up a spiritual path, you have to sacrifice your time. You have to sacrifice your energy. You have to dedicate yourself in a very deep way to the practice of Krishna consciousness. So it may be a simple process, but the difficulty comes in actually executing it in a steady and dedicated way, day after day, month after month, year after year. So anything that's ultimately so valuable as Krishna consciousness, it doesn't come so cheaply. There has to be real affection, real dedication. And in executing Krishna consciousness, these 10 offenses we keep running into, the mention of the 10 offenses. Actually, they're listed in the Padma Purana, and I'm going to just read through them. Of course, they do this with every initiation lecture. They usually run through the 10 offenses and discuss a little bit about them. So these are quoted in the Adi Lila, this chapter in text 24 in the purport. Satang ninda nam nak paramang aparadam vitanute yatak kya tim yatang katangu hasate tadvigarham. The first of the 10. To blaspheme the great saintly persons who are preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. So this is something that, of course, we have to always bear in mind when we're dealing with other devotees, because sometimes living in close proximity, there's a tendency to become critical, because we tend to live a self-centered life, or we can say our conditioning is to be a bit self-centered. So we see others in relation to ourselves, and it's quite easy to find flaws or difficulties or faults. So this is to be avoided. says the non-Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. It doesn't mean that if you're a so-called advanced devotee, then you're allowed to do it. Okay, the second one. Shivasya Sri Vishnurya Iha Guna Namadi Sakalam Diya Binang Pasyat Sakalu Hari Namahita Karaha. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental, absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name, or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them material, that is offensive. Similarly, to think that the names of demigods, such as Lord Shiva, are as good as the name of Lord Vishnu is also blasphemous. So, we don't equate the holy name with others' names. Or think that there's a difference between Krishna and his name. Or Krishna and his form, his pastimes, his qualities, etc. The third offense, Guru Avagya. This is the one that Prabhupada mentioned earlier in the conversation. It is offensive to consider the spiritual master material and therefore to envy his exalted position. So this is actually extremely important. We discussed earlier how whatever the previous acharyas have taught, we follow that. We don't try to imagine or create something new. To do that is actually a form of envy, that we think, oh, well, I'm better than that. I can think of something better. Guru Avagya. Then the next, Shruti Shastra Nindanam. It is offensive to blaspheme the Vedic literature, such as the four Vedas and the Puranas. That sometimes people think, oh, well, I don't believe that. That's nonsense. They read something in the Shastra and they think I dismiss that. As though your intellect has somehow superseded the statements of liberated souls. See, sometimes there is a tendency among people that consider themselves intelligent to more or less offer puja to their own intellects. My intellect, whatever I've thought, whatever I've conceived, it must be right because I'm brilliant. I think like this. If I thought this, then it must be wonderful and true. There is a tendency to have this type of mentality. I mean, even on a subtle plane, it may not come out quite so outrageously, like, you know, I'm great and therefore whatever I think is wonderful. But we have a tendency to be very proud of our thoughts, very proud of our intellects. And so therefore it says, when you're applying your intellect to the Vedic literature, it's better to think, well, I don't understand that very well, but in time I will understand it. And certainly not to criticize, because you're not really in a position as a conditioned soul to criticize the statements of liberated persons. So then, Arthavada, is offensive to consider the glories of the holy name as exaggerations. If the holy name is none different than Krishna, as the Padma Purana says it is, then to think that anything is impossible for him or that he's somehow got some sort of limitation, that's offensive. To think that vibrating the holy name is also just some kind of an imaginary exercise in futility. No, it's actually not different than Krishna, according to the Shastra. Then nam no balad yasi hi papa buddhir navidyate tasya yamayar hi shuddhi. The greatest offense at the lotus feet of the holy name is to think that since chanting the holy name can counteract all sinful reactions, one may therefore go on sinning and at the same time chant the holy name to neutralize the reactions. One who thinks in this way cannot be purified by any program of sense restraint and severe austerities, nor by the various punishments of Yamaraj. So, this of course is, you know, this idea that, oh well, it's so powerful, the chanting. This is the kind of sort of twisted logic, but it's so powerful, the chanting, so I can just do any nonsense I like. Then I'll just chant a bit and everything will be okay. But approaching the holy name like that is obnoxious. It's an obnoxious attitude. You know, I can do whatever I like because I've always got this, I can always dump all my sins on the holy name. That's not very, the example is given of the elephant who takes bath in the river and then comes out and throws dirt all over himself. Repeatedly, you know, taking bath, throwing dirt. So this, you can't make much progress like that, and actually it says that type of mentality is quite obnoxious. Then dharma vratta tyaga hudadi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramada. It is offensive to consider the chanting of the holy name equal to the performance of ordinary religious ceremonies or fire sacrifices, the observance of austere vows, or the practice of renunciation, all of which are materialistic, auspicious activities. So it's not equal. Sometimes people get a little hung up on formularies or ceremonies. Here it says ceremonies or fire sacrifices or performing acts of austerity. Oh, I only eat once a day and I only sleep 2 hours at night. And they think that that makes them advanced. But actually, it may help them advance, but it's not equal to the chanting. They have auspicious effects of following of austerities and various other kinds of activities, but none of them are on the same level as chanting. Offense number 9. Ashradha dhane vimuke pyashvin vati. Yes, chopadesha shiva nama paradaha. It is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name to those unwilling to hear, to atheists or to those who have no faith in chanting the holy name. So this is a tricky one because, you know, we're encouraged to go out and try to speak to as many people as possible about the glories of chanting. But you have to be able to ascertain their mentality when you speak to them. If they don't have any interest, they don't want to hear what you've got to say, then it's not actually your duty to speak to such persons. Go to the next person. It's upon us to determine that after speaking to them for some time. You can always give prasadam to anybody, but as far as preaching about the holy name, that should be to persons that are actually interested in hearing about it. Otherwise, it can become counterproductive. Because then you actually facilitate their offense then. By talking to a person who has no interest, you're encouraging them to make an offense practically by such activity. So that's not good. You become actually an agent of their implication in sinful activities. So always be careful about who you talk about these things. Try to ascertain whether they actually have any serious interest or not. They have no serious interest, move on. Number 10, Shudvapi nama mahatyam yak priti rahito dhamaha aham mamadi paramo namni sopyap aparadakrit. If a person has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in the materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine. And if he thus shows no respect or love for the chanting of the holy name, that is an offense. So we should try to not continue in our materialistic way of thinking here, it says here. Thinking that we're the body and everything in relation to it is mine. Aham mamati. It's aham brahmasmi, not aham mamati. That's the proper mood. And then the last, api pramada, is to be inattentive while chanting. If you're letting your mind go everywhere and anywhere and not focusing on the vibration of the holy name, that's also considered. Not hard to understand. If you remember always that the holy name is a person. Suppose I'm supposedly having a conversation with you, but I'm ignoring you and looking everywhere else and talking about so many things, but that's kind of obnoxious, isn't it? I'm supposed to be having a conversation with you, but I'm not really paying any attention to you or anything that you're saying. So, in dealing with the holy name, we have to be respectful. So that means attentive. being a good listener, actually, that's one of the hardest things, isn't it, Chaitanya? One of the hardest things to do is to be a good listener. Because generally when people have a conversation, they're thinking, well, he's spoken, but now let me think what I want to say next. You know, that's what, haven't you found that? A lot of times people are just eager to say what they want to say, but they're not really listening to a thing you're saying. And after a while, you feel like giving up. So the point is that in a conversation, there has to be active listening and speaking. Sometimes if you just listen, you can practically, you know, they've discovered this in modern psychology. If you just listen to a person attentively enough, they'll work out all their own problems. You know, if they can talk about them. And nobody likes anything more than talking about themselves. Of course, that may be a conditioned tendency. But, you know, it's just like, why are astrologers and palmists so popular? Because they're talking about you, only you. Everybody's favorite subject. So we're trying to change our favorite subject matter to Krishna, but that takes some doing. So, guarding against these offenses, very important thing. I prepared quite a lengthy class here. Obviously, I'm not going to have time to get through all of this. But let's see. Well, there's a nice section here in the third canto. I'll see if I can read. This is from a section where Brahma is talking about the qualifications for one who can enter into the kingdom of God. And he says they need to have desirable qualities. Prabhupada writes, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotee's desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. They are stated as follows. He is very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. He is magnanimous, mild, and always clean internally and externally. He does not profess to possess anything in this material world. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. What do you think that means? He is never mad after material identity. Any idea? Wait, no volunteers. Yeah, he's not interested in becoming a so-called famous or exalted person. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He is very grave, very compassionate, and very friendly. So I hope you're all feeling really intimidated now. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities, and he is silent in nonsense. Well, that doesn't mean he's nonsensically silent. It means when nonsense is going on, he remains quiet. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, verse 21, we have this verse. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So, the qualifications of a saintly person are mentioned there. It is said there that a saintly person eligible to enter into the kingdom of God is very tolerant and very kind to all living entities. He is not partial. He is kind both to human beings and to animals. He is not such a fool that he will kill a goat Narayan to feed a human Narayan. There's this very popular philosophy, the Ridra Narayana, and amongst the followers of Ramakrishna especially, that it's okay to kill a goat or to, who's Narayan, apparently, but to feed the human Narayan. So Prabhupada's using a little sarcasm here. He is very kind to all living entities. Therefore, he has no enemy. He is very peaceful. These are qualities of persons who are eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. that such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 2. And that verse is, one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to a highly advanced spiritual personality. So, Mat Sevam Dharam Ahurvi Mukte. Very nice verse. And in that it says, the Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. And then again in the Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, it states that if a person does not cry or exhibit bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offense, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted, and that therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God, Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to ecstasy when we offensively chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, the verse that he's mentioning there is, certainly that heart is steel-framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. So the fact is that Prabhupada uses an expression in the purport. He says that we have to, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses, now we might think it should have been avoiding. You could use either one, but it's interesting that he uses the word evading. He's not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses. So in practice of Krishna consciousness, we have to become quite aware of what they are and try not to fall into tendency to commit such an offense. So we're trying to evade those offenses. Anyway, there's a lot more material here. But a nice point that can be made in conclusion is that, I'll just read the last paragraph here. When one is free from all 10 of these offenses in chanting the holy name of God, he develops the ecstatic bodily features called Pulakashru. Pulaka means symptoms of happiness, and ashru means tears in the eyes. The symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes must appear in a person who has chanted the holy name offenselessly. Here in this verse it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the Lord are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. So this is the disease, that we continue to make some offenses. So it's a little discouraging sometimes. People think, oh, I'm not getting anywhere, I'm still making offenses, I'm not experiencing this ecstatic happiness that's described here in these verses and purports. What to do? So Prabhupada writes, Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. There it is said in verse 31, chapter 8 of Adi Lila, that if anyone takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, he becomes freed from all offenses. So the idea is that if one is not making much progress, there's only one remedy, and that's more chanting. So that means that if one feels that he's not getting anywhere in Krishna consciousness, there is no other solution. I remember there was this incident once in San Francisco where somebody, it was of course early days, but this lady in the audience kept saying, but what about my mind? What about my mind? Finally, Prabhupada said, please just chant Hare Krishna. I have no other remedy. I have no other remedy. So there actually, for whatever we're suffering from, you know, from previous lives or from previous conditioning, ultimately, for whatever lack we may feel, there is only one remedy, and that's this chanting process. So we chant this Panchatattva mantra to try to create some eligibility, and then we try to chant avoiding these or evading these 10 offenses. That's the only remedy. There's no other solution. So the cure for lack of development is simply more chanting. Try to chant. I mean, the actual recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and even Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam. Constant chanting. Prabhupada's godbrother, Krishnadas Kaviraj, not Krishnadas Kaviraj, not his godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he used to, whatever question you used to ask him, he would just say, chant Hare Krishna and laugh. Meaning that that was the solution. Whatever it is you're bothered about or disturbed by, just chant, that's all. Chant more. And he was constantly chanting and laughing. It kind of a laughing ecstasy. That was his mood. Very nice. So anyway, so the point is, whatever our difficulties, whatever our shortcomings, the only cure is more chanting. So if you have any time, if you have any spare time, whenever you're not just, I mean, because it's not just you chant 16 rounds and you do, and that's it. You know, kind of Prabhupada used to do this sort of satire. He did this devotee chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then hanging the bead bag up on a nail and saying, now I finished my 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing I like. So no, chanting is, we're trying to come to a more constant platform where we're chanting always. Now that doesn't happen overnight, obviously. But that's our goal, to increase that chanting, to increase it more and more, whether it's in kirtan, whether it's in japa, whatever it is, more chanting. That's our solution. That's why it's called the Hare Krishna movement. That's the movement, chanting Hare Krishna. That's what we've come to deliver. That's what we've come to practice. That's what we're about, this holy name. So thank you very much. If there's any quick question, I'll answer. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me.